Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're into the third and final hour. I have a guest coming up in about 8 minutes who survived for almost 5 years in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. He was captured on December 7th, 1941 at the U.S. Embassy in China. It's an incredible story. Unbelievable. Coming up in a few minutes. Let's keep going to your calls right now. Jeff in Texas. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Alex. I have an older family member that has a niche estate planning business out in Central California, and he trains and consults through this extensive program to train very wealthy kids to inherit wealth from their parents. And he's written a couple books on this subject, and one of the interesting statistics that he's gleaned from his history of studying estate planning is that wealthy families that build estates to survive their founders only have their wealth survive past up to about the third generation. And when you look at groups like or families like the Rockefellers or the Schiffs or the Rothschilds that have been around for over half a millennia, how do you account for that just given a secular mindset? There's something not natural going on there.
Well, they intermarry with other powerful houses, and how do you, you know, look at the Dutch or British or Saudi royal houses? They just stick together, and it's set up a little bit different, and they're also very mean to their children. They send them to boarding schools. They have them beat up. Prince Philip routinely had Prince Charles beat up to, quote, keep him tough, and they're consciously aware of that constantly. And so when they go into the military, at least in the past, they would have them beaten severely, and the people who did it would be rewarded. I mean, it's to make them tougher, to keep them from getting just totally decadent. But still, psychologically, with the exercise of power and the vicious predatory streak towards other people, that's actually encouraged. But slothfulness and laying around is not. These elite families work a lot.
That explains the symptoms, but can you account for the cause for the secular mind to grasp? Because I can't. To me, it's totally supernatural.
Well, no. I mean, there's lots of families that people don't lose the wealth.
Millennia?
I mean, it gets diversified. Oh, I'd say a lot of these families' money goes back more than half a millennia. I mean, look, most of our founding fathers came from somewhat elitist families, and they're related to most of the presidents we have today. I mean, those are the circles. And money tends to marry money, and, you know, that's what's really going on.
Interesting. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call. I mean, I think there are these evil families. There are these families that they believe that they are these royal bloodlines, and they are occultists, and they are into that. So I think that's where you're going with that, and it's covered in the book we carry, Codex Magica. But even more, it's carried in Bloodlines Illuminati. Yeah, both those books at InfoWars.com. We get into it a lot as well in my new film, The Order of Death. Let's go ahead and go quickly here. We've got about a minute. Let's go to Will in Georgia. Will, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Alex. Long-time listener, first-time caller. About a couple of months ago, I read many essays about Eyes Wide Shut again because, you know, there's the circumstances revolving, you know, Kubrick's death and the questionable. But things that came up in these analysis were a thing called Project Monarch, which was like a subset of MK Ultra, you know, presidential model, essentially sex plays.
Very, very real.
Mm-hmm. And one of these essays said the reason why Kubrick, you know, that he was killed, essentially, it was not for, you know, exposing elite practices or whatever, but the thing called, it's like, you know, it ties back to Project Monarch, and it said that he exposed what is, quote-unquote, the way, like, or the process of something in his movie. And I wonder if you knew anything about that.
I know, like, they did cut some stuff out of the movie. I know that he was having a big fight with the studio and others right when it happened. And Kubrick always told us what was really going on in his movies or what was going to happen. Frankly, we're out of time. We got a great guest coming up. Stay with us for that, folks. We'll try to get to the other callers that are holding as well.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today. Call toll-free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, InfoWars.com.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is unavailable. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know there's a secret group that wants the government to spend itself into bankruptcy? Did you know that current President Bush has the largest percentage of increase in spending than any Democrat has ever had? 38% higher than Bill Clinton's highest budget. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening and more about Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Just call for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine. It's free. Call now while operators are standing by to take your call.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're going to take a different route today, as we do every December 7th. Talking about the tragic events of Pearl Harbor and the Pacific War. Now, I'm no fan of the Japanese doing biological testing on our troops and our government, by the way, not hanging those men and taking them over here to the U.S. and using their science as they did Nazis as well. But I'm also angry about the fact that the evidence is overwhelming now. They've broken the code. They knew the attack was coming. But at the same time, they basically let the war take place as a pretext to make it a full worldwide war. But that's not what we're discussing today. You know, right now, Admiral Kimmel, who got the blame wrongly, Admiral Kimmel's grandson is out at the Pacific War Museum in Fredericksburg, Texas, giving a speech, a big sanctioned official speech there at the Pacific War Memorial George H.W. Bush Museum. That's how mainstream the cover-up of Pearl Harbor has gotten. But that does not exonerate in any way the imperialistic, bloodthirsty activities of the torturing, murdering Imperial Japanese, who were completely and totally out of control. And our guest was tortured by them. Our guest saw his buddies die at their hands. Our guest just went through absolute hell. He was a young Marine at the time at a U.S. embassy in China and captured. And I was going to get Kimmel on. I was going to get some other people on. And my friend... Kevin Smith, who does his own radio broadcast here locally, said, you know, you ought to get this Terrence S. Kirk on and talk about his book, The Secret Camera, that it was classified until just a few years ago. He couldn't even publish this book. And now he can, and the incredible photos he took with a handmade camera. And yes, folks, this is the ingenuity of our forefathers. Now the average American can't even find Australia on a map, but these folks can make cameras by hand while slaves. Just an unbelievable story. And I also wanted to dovetail it with all this torture today. You know, I don't care if it's North Vietnamese torturing our troops or Joseph Mengele torturing little Jewish kids or whether it's Japanese torturing our people. Torture is wrong, is wrong. It was wrong when they tortured Jesus Christ. And torture is evil. And so we're going to let you hear about torture today for those of you out there that love torture. But we're about to go to our guest, who's just an amazing individual, but we've got here in studio with us Kevin Smith. Kevin, why don't you tell folks a little bit about meeting Mr. Kirk and why you recommended him to the show? I mean, now I've learned his story. It is absolutely amazing.
Well, I had met Mr. Kirk a few weeks ago. I was at a gun show, and I was walking through the booth, and there was a little Marine display and an older gentleman sitting there, and I took the time to talk to him for a few minutes, and I believe his daughter-in-law, and I just, the pictures are incredible. When you look at these pictures, and I've seen some Japanese prisoner of war photos before. I have a friend of mine whose great uncle was one of the Bataan Death March survivors, and he also had written a book about it. And I also, along with the book I read, I got the unredacted copy that he had submitted, and huge sections of the book were redacted by the U.S. government. And his take on it, he was angry. He was angry about being left there. He was angry about not fighting and getting into a long retreat. And he got to the Philippines, this friend of mine, great uncle, he got there in November of 41, and by March, April of 42, he was eating his mule and never fired a shot in an offensive capacity, always on the run. And the Japanese ended up using their food stores, using their ammunition and armament against them. And he was very angry about it for years. And talking to Sergeant Kirk, I got a little of the same thing. He said, until a few years ago, that I had a gag order on me. And I said, well, why did it run out now? And he said, well, because the people that were responsible are dead now. And
Now, Mr. Kirk, of course, is right at 90 years old, and it's this is from the website alwisepublishing.com. Also, the website, the, be sure to put the in front of it, Secret Camera. I didn't and got something else. TheSecretCamera.com. Someone might fight for the right to have the freedoms that all Americans enjoy. And The Secret Camera is a true story of one young Marine who was held captive for 1,355 days by the Japanese during the Marine Corps training. The word surrender was never mentioned. It wasn't even in the United States Marine Corps vocabulary. The first day of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the 23 Marines stationed at Chinwatigong, I know I'm not pronouncing it right, our guest can, China, were facing a full company of Japs. Oops, he used a politically incorrect term there. He'll be executed. But there was no fear. We had been taught to do our job, and were ready for them with 12 machine guns set up to cover all approaches. It had been an Alamo. They had killed almost all of them on both sides. We knew we didn't have a chance, but the general feeling was expressed by all of us, we are going to take a hell of a lot of them with us. But they were ordered to surrender. When they were surrendered, they were tortured. People were killed in front of him. Just an absolute hell. There were about 32,000 captured. About 12,000 never came back. And we're going to our guest, but again, I want to just say this. Declassified 3 years ago in my film, The Masters of Terror. Declassified Roosevelt, 7,400 plus American citizens in the Philippines. And the Marines could evacuate him, and Roosevelt said, no, we're leaving him there, and when the Japanese capture him, it's going to be great propaganda for the newsreels. So, folks, this just shows you, and 4,000-plus were killed or died at the hands of these brutes. And it's just horrible to see this happen. And so certainly the Japanese needed to be hated. Their government needed to be hated, not the people themselves. But, again, they helped hype this up and even helped make the story even worse to whip up the red haze of hatred here domestically. But we'll see if he agrees with that. Terrence S. Kirk, sir, it's really great to have you on with us.
Well, thank you.
We've got about 6 minutes till break. Just tell us about yourself, where you grew up, you got in the Marines quickly, and then get into what happened that day, and then what you went through in these prisoner of war camps.
Hey, you want me to start now, or am I on the air?
Yes, sir. You're on the air, sir. Thank you for holding.
Okay. Start out with, just imagine, freezing rain, winter cold, no food, no shelter. Imagine being sick, injured, with no medicine or care. Imagine the fear of being abused, tortured, or murdered. Now imagine this every day. My name is Terrence Sumner Kirk. I was a master gunnery sergeant. There were 203 Marines in North China attached to the American Embassy in Peking in 1941. 65 years ago, I was a proud young North China Marine serving as a legation guard in Tianjin, China. On December the 7th, the word came down to Qingwen Tower, I was stationed at the time, that Japan had bombed Pearl Harbor. My barracks was Camp Holcomb, Marine Corps Rifle Range. There were 23 Marines and a garrison of about 40,000 Japanese billeted nearby. All 203 North China Marines were to be sent back to the States on the 10th of December.
You were 3 days from being able to get out of there.
Right. But we heard about this. Well, you went through it a minute ago. That's what we did. We set up our machine guns. We figured it. 4,500 bullets a minute would take a lot of them with it. However, we had a gunnery sergeant, Officer Gunner Lee, who sent a message to Peking headquarters of 0700. He said, "We are surrounded. The issue is in doubt." I was ordered by Lieutenant Heisinger, he was our commanding officer, to wait by the radio to get the reply. And when the radio came to life, LaRoe, the operator, scribbled a note and he handed it to me. I glanced at it on the way to the parlay party, and it said, "Comply with demands." I ran to the party, and Sergeant Bishop, with an arm with a sub-Thompson machine gun, and Corporal Hinkle, with a Browning automatic, and our commanding officer, Lieutenant Heisinger.
What did the Japanese do? I mean, once you open the gates, what did they do to you?
It was out in the open. They came across the field. It was snow about 6 feet, 6 inches deep. And our three men were standing there, face there on the border of the camp. And when I arrived, I heard the Japanese officer say, "Lieutenant, what are your intentions?" And so I held the note, giving it to him. I wanted him to have his say. I thought he needed that or rated that. And he said, "Unless I receive orders to the contrary, we are going to stand and fight." But when I handed him the note, he looked at it, and I could tell by the expression on his face that that isn't exactly what he had in mind. And so we surrendered.
Of course, we all know who surrendered in the end, though.
Huh?
We all know who surrendered in the end, though.
Oh, yeah. We always figured that. But at this time, reason that our colonel up in Peking gave this order to comply with demands is because the Japanese got to him and told him that we would be considered the embassy staff and would therefore be eligible for repatriation.
I tell you what, stay there, sir. I want to. We'll be right back after a quick break and continue.
Do you desire to increase your energy levels and relieve your pain and stress without chemicals, drugs, or expensive supplements? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. For those unique, one-of-a-kind holiday items, click on trivortex.com to give those special gifts that will improve health and well-being, as well as amaze and astound. This is Brian David Anderson, researcher and inventor of the Trivortex technology products, wishing you and yours a joyous holiday season.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Would you like to own a computer? Would you like to upgrade to a newer, more up-to-date computer? Do you have no credit, limited credit, bad credit, or even a past bankruptcy that is preventing you from owning the computer you want? There is a solution. At FinanceMyPC.com, you are accepted are the words you will hear when applying for the computer you have been looking for. FinanceMyPC.com offers the latest and greatest laptop and desktop computers available on the market. With new name brand computers such as Dell, Gateway, and Hewlett-Packard, you can rest assured you are getting the best computer money can buy. At FinanceMyPC.com, regardless of your credit history, you can begin to reestablish your credit while enjoying the computer you deserve. Having a computer is a right that everyone deserves, even good people with bad credit. For a limited time, you will receive a free digital camera when you log on to FinanceMyPC.com and place your order. Call them today, 1-800-829-9017. That's 1-800-829-9017. Or simply log on to FinanceMyPC.com today.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
The author of The Secret Camera. We're going to get to that, how he built his own little camera. Just unbelievable. Took these incredible photos. We have links to his websites and where you can see the photos at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. We'll tell you about the book, too, before he leaves us here in about 40 minutes. Mr. Kirk, just accelerating through, because this is a short segment right now, describe you know, once they first clapped you in irons or where you were taken, what happened, when the torture and abuse began, what your captivity was like. Because I've seen the photos. You guys look like Nazi concentration camp victims.
Yeah, well, that was the Pacific Holocaust. I'm trying to get oriented here. At the time we were captured, it was 40 degrees below zero, and we were taken to Tientsin, and they brought the Marines from Peking down to join us, and that was about, there were 203 of us, and then they stuffed us into little boxcars, and the temperature was 40 degrees below zero. And there was no heat or anything like that, but it's lucky that there was enough. There was 40 men in each one of those little cars, and so the body heat kept them freezing to death. And on the way down there, they stopped. It took us 2.5 days. They stopped one time and gave us a little can of vegetables, emaciated-looking vegetables, packed in water. And there was no way to open them, so I put mine in my pocket. Now, I never did eat it, because the rest of the people that tried it says it might as well drink water. Then they were afraid of it. We got to Wusong. It was right in the middle of a swamp. Of course, it was all frozen over at that time, but it had potential. I figured that when the weather gets warm, we're going to have a real epidemic of malaria, because that's exactly what happened.
Where did you stay mainly for the duration of the war? Did they move you all around?
Yeah, they moved me around. I stayed in Wusong. There I got sick and almost died, and because of there's no medication, you were on your own. You had to fight it out yourself. Well, I managed to survive.
You have a lot of descriptions of being tortured mentally, physically, psychologically. Can you go over that for us?
Well, you got to try to put yourself in the same mind frame as settlers, the Japanese. They had the Bushido Code, and to surrender was the worst thing they could do. You disgrace your family and the nation and the emperor. So they looked down on us because we didn't have their code, and they didn't know anything about following orders. If the Japanese heard any of their officers talking about surrender, it was not only his right, but his duty to kill him. So we have a different type army. When we get given an order, we carry it out. That's why when they put the gag order on us when the war ended, as far as the American people are concerned, they didn't even know there was any Japanese prisoners of war. And so,
oh yeah, 20,000+ in the European theater. They just let Uncle Joe have them. Good old Uncle Joe, our friend. But specifically, I mean, the beatings, the torture. Can you go over that for us?
Well, I can give you a specific case. There was one of the things that they did every day, or once a month when we had a day off, they'd have a shakedown to see if they could find contraband. Contraband in their mind was food. If you had any food other than what came out of the galley, that was contraband, and you got a beating for it. Well, one day, every so often, they would pull the kids out of rank coming back from work, and they'd find some soybeans. That's the only thing that we could get from the Koreans for trading our clothes away. And they would beat the kids until they knocked him down, and then they kick him in the stomach.
Stay there, sir. We'll be right back. Just an amazing story. And I want to get to this little camera you built. It's just even more incredible. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Government is best which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community.
I never voted for a war criminal. Have you?
Real conservatives hate Bush.
Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626.
If only our president would listen to his God.
Perhaps Jenna Bush.
Osama bin Forgotten.
Go to LibertyStickers.com and express your freedom of speech today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Welcome to RealityZone.com. My name is G. Edward Griffin. When I wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, A Second Look at the Federal Reserve, I said, we must create an entirely new money supply which is 100% backed by precious metals, and we must do this within a reasonably short period of time. I'm now pleased to inform you that the Liberty Dollar Organization has done precisely that. The Liberty Dollar is 100% backed and redeemable in gold and silver. So, if you want to make money and protect your purchasing power, I encourage you to visit the Liberty Dollar at www.libertydollar.org or call 888-421-6181 to find out about getting a free copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's www.libertydollar.org or call toll-free 888-421-6181.
Welcome back, folks. Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 Central Standard Time. We're here, then back from 9 to midnight, blasting out on the AM and FM dial from places like San Diego, California, to Chicago, Illinois, to right here in Austin, Texas, from Pensacola, Florida, to upstate New York, simulcasting on Global Shortwave as well during the day at, what, 9.985, the 9.975 third hour, and at night first hour is, what, 5.75, I believe, and then, of course, the second 2 hours at 3210 now. We've switched back over to that and the Internet at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And our guest is an amazing individual. He was, of course, as you heard, a sergeant at the time of December 7th. He was captured, I guess, among the group, the elite group, who were in captivity the longest in that war with the Japanese. Terrence S. Kirk, of course, is his name, and the book is The Secret Camera. We're going to get into that. We've got about 25 minutes left with him. Sir, my friend, before we get back into how you were tortured and beat up and things you went through, my friend Kevin Smith had a question for you.
Yes.
Yes, Sergeant Kirk, as I spoke about earlier, I had a friend whose great-uncle had gone through the Bataan Death March, and when he went into the military, he weighed 175 pounds. When the Rangers rescued them in the Philippines, he weighed 75 pounds. And I've seen the pictures of you when you were a younger man. You have a serious intensity in your eye. You look like you were wired pretty hard. What kind of physical specimen were you when you went into the Marines?
Well, I was weighed 165 pounds, and I was all muscle. And when the war ended, I weighed 85 pounds. And that's the reason I took the pictures, because I was in the same boat as all these kids that were dying. And I knew that there was no way that anybody could know how they died, because they cremated them as fast as they died. And you couldn't look in those little crocks of ashes and to know anything. So I decided I would take a picture and show what the camps were.
I know the North Vietnamese really enjoyed beating up Americans, because we were so, Africans and Anglo-Americans were so much bigger than them. Did the Japanese just hate Westerners, period? Were they jealous of the larger physiques? Were they enjoying enslaving you and dehumanizing you? I mean, can you describe? You were talking about how they beat people. Please continue. Tell us about some of the things that happened.
Well, that is what I was going to get to. Contraband, like this little kid, they pulled out of ranks because they found he had a little bag of beans, and they pulled him out and started beating on him. And Max knew, she was a big Marine. He stepped out and said, "Those are my beans." And so they stopped beating on the kid, and they started beating on him because he was a big man. And they beat him around the head with their rifle butts, hit him in the chest, broke some ribs, and that wasn't enough for him. They made him stand in a cistern of ice water until dark, and he caught pneumonia and died 2 days later because there was no medication at all. So that's as a matter of fact, when I was in Wusung, I was... Not only did I witness it, but the kid died in my arms. The Japanese soldier told him to something like Dinky. He didn't know what he was talking about, and he put out his arms like, "I don't understand," and he shot him. And I ran to him, but they had hit him in the jugular vein, and he just bled right out and died in my hands.
Well, that's amazing. I wonder why the government didn't want any of this coming out.
Well, they didn't want any of it to come out. I think they were trying to hide Unit 731 because they are...
Oh, that's exactly what Colonel Craig Roberts said, that wrote a book about this, is they were doing the biological testing, and then, yeah, they let all those Japanese killers go, and so they could get all those biological results needed to cover that up.
You know, I think this is what they were doing. It's only my opinion, but I can't think of any reason why they would shut us up. And because there was some in our group that were still in that unit, and just they hadn't gotten to them with the knives yet. And they didn't want anybody to know about it, I guess.
Did you talk to people that were in that Unit 731 and had the biological testing done on them?
Yeah, I talked to one guy. And he said it was really scary.
What did he tell you about that unit, sir?
Huh?
What did he tell you about that unit?
They would inject the kids with some kind of a biological or disease. I guess that's the same thing. And then they'd cut them open while they're alive to see how the thing is progressing in their innards.
Of course, their attitude was you weren't human because you'd surrender. And the Nazis said the people they were torturing weren't human. And what do you think about our own government today torturing people? And it's been admitted many of them are totally innocent. Families picked up in checkpoints in Iraq getting some similar treatment at Abu Ghraib, sir. What do you think about that?
Well, all I can say is what happened to us. And we got back to the States. We didn't exist. And it was until 1970s, before I got any information from the VA to come on in, if I had any of the nine dread diseases they had listed, I'd had eight of them, but it didn't turn out that way. It was 11 years fighting. It was a paper war.
So they didn't even want to, as an admitted veteran, they didn't want to give you any health care. This is a really friendly government.
Isn't that something?
Well, that's my point, sir. We know for a fact 23,000 American soldiers that Uncle Joe got, sweetheart he was, out of Nazi camps, the prisoner of war camps, just Stalin wanted them, and our government just said, sure, take them, go ahead. I mean, I just want to point out, this is not our government, and having fealty to it is not fealty to America. We got to get our government back. I mean, who are these bureaucrats that could write you off and write off so many other people?
Well, I think about 25,000, 26,000 POWs in the Pacific. And I'll tell you, these all of these, they were not just ordinary men. They were physical fit when they joined the military, flower of American youth. And when they were dying here toward the end of the war, when I was decided to take a picture, dying without a whimper is a mark of a man.
Well, I want to go through, I'd like to go through, sir, how you got transferred to Japan. You were working as slave labor. I want to go through how you actually built a camera out of nothing. And I'd read about being able to do this. I think my dad talked about when he was a kid, he built primitive cameras. But this is what Americans used to be like, folks, just building cameras out of nothing. And then you took these incredibly amazing black and white photos that you took, and then I want to go through when the bombs got dropped on Japan and when you finally learned of it while still in captivity. Tell us about that.
Well, the way you make a camera is just a piece of cardboard, two boxes. One slides into the other so it's light tight, and you put the plate on one end and the pinhole at the other end, and you have a piece of tape over the pinhole to act as a shutter. And you just pull the tape off and you count. In my case, the film, the plates that I had required only 10 seconds and they came out perfect. But I didn't know really what to give them. I just start counting. When I got to 10, I put the cap back on it again. So I guess it must have been a divine intervention or something to have them come out like they did.
Oh, they're haunting photos. We've got some of them up on Infowars.com right now. People can link over and see all of them. Tell us, sir, specifically how you got the film, how you made the film, how you made it work.
Well, I had a Japanese interpreter there. He was an American. He was born and raised in San Francisco. And they had duped him into coming to Japan, telling him his grandmother was dying, and that's what she wanted to see her grandson from America. And so they sent the money, and he said, why not? I'll go see the land of my ancestors. And he got over here, and they said, you are in the Japanese Imperial Army.
And so he was really still an American.
He was an American, yes. And I persuaded him to get me the plates for my camera. And he finally did it. He got them. But he didn't take them into camp. I had to do that.
But how did you get the chemical? How did you make them?
Oh, wait a minute. He did it. He took the place after I exposed them and went out and had them developed and gave me 5 prints of each plate. And I had, those are the ones that I gave to the Army, the Navy, and the FBI when I came through Yokohama.
Did those disappear?
They went into the can, I guess. And I also had 2 more, and I gave one to the doctor, who was the one that set up all the kids to come out and get their picture taken. And they all volunteered to do it because we explained to them, if the Japanese find out about this, there's going to be a mass execution. But they...
How did you ever end up getting the pictures back then?
Huh?
How did you end up getting the pictures from the Japanese photographer? I mean, from the Japanese man that got you the film?
Yeah, he brought them to me. I worked out in a scrap iron pile, and he used to go around and see the troops.
But, I mean, if the FBI took your pictures, where did the other, I mean, how did you then, where did you get the photos you have today?
Oh, I had a set, and I also gave a set to the Dr. Markowitz. And Dr. Markowitz had them, they were in the war crimes trials. And they asked him who took the pictures, and he didn't, said he didn't know, but Linda Holmes, she's the one that wrote the book about the...
Well, you were smart to take those pictures. Kevin's got a question, sir. Kevin?
Yes, Sergeant Kirk. I described the intensity in your eye that I saw. Of the roughly 200 or so soldiers that were surrendered with you, how many survived the war?
Well, I can say there was 12,000 that didn't, but in our camp, we '43, they moved us from Iwata to Kakura. There were 1,200 men, and when the war ended, about a year and a half later, we had 767 men. That was about 38%, which was average for every...
Yeah, the number I've got is 40% morbidity.
Huh?
Number I've got for American and British prisoners of war in Japanese hands is 40% died.
Yeah,
you're saying the number's
38.
Well, Sergeant,
but they had no use for us, and as a matter of fact, they declared in when Commodore Perry took the Black Fleet into Tokyo and ran out his guns and made them sign to open up all of their ports to world trade, that we were forever the enemy of Japan. And they haven't forgotten.
Well, I know that a lot of Japanese, I've talked to a lot of friends who have been over there, and I mean, we have a lot of Japanese listeners. Obviously, it's like the Japanese fellow that helped you was an American. There's a lot of good Japanese, but there certainly is a large percentage, especially in power, that hate America. And, of course, they've found out that the globalists are smarter than that. They've used China as leverage against them, as usual. And they absolutely hate this country, and economically they do want to hurt us. That really is the truth, and they still do have that grudge. And then people get all politically correct and say, don't even use the word Jap. I mean, Jap's just an abbreviation of Japanese. It's like saying an American instead of somebody from the United States of America. So they try to make everything politically correct.
Yeah.
And you know, so you don't have to be apologizing. So you're 90 years old. You were tortured for 5 years by these people. It doesn't indict the entire Japanese people, but you're right. They did say that.
Yeah, and, but even the president said he called him Japs. I figured if he can do it, nobody's going to call him a racist.
Well, right? I mean, that's political correctness, sir. There's real racism, and then there's saying that everything is racism. I mean, to say Jap is just the abbreviation of the name. Of course, now it's got racist connotations because they say it does, but that's just Orwellian police state. Tell us about the A-bombs, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki that were dropped.
Well, the day before the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, it was due to hit us. There were 900,000 Japanese because the Army and the Marines had just taken Okinawa, and they were preparing to repel all our troops. They're going to land. So there was 900,000 there. And it was an arsenal where all their heavy guns and et cetera was kept. So it was a prime target for the second atomic bomb. But the day before, we had a horrendous air raid, and everything that burned was on fire, and the air was full of ashes and soot and all kind of debris that a 500-pound bomb could make.
Were you guys happy when that was happening?
Oh, and it's a mixed emotion, you know? Glad to see them, and I hope they'd go away. Because they were really tearing the place up. Anyway, with all that smoke and debris, it blew out the sea. And the next morning, at 0600, the target, according to records, was said it was clear. And they were the boxcar was the one that carrying the fat man. That was the bomb.
Yes, sir.
He was ordered not to bomb by radar. It had to be a visual target. Well, all that smoke and soot and the stuff had blown over the target.
So that saved you. So how did the Japanese start behaving? Because it was a while before you learned after the bombings that this had happened. How did they start behaving after the bomb had been dropped, but you didn't know? But, I mean, did you see a change in their behavior?
No, we didn't know what was going on. No, I didn't. They were just as mean all the time.
What did they call you?
Fudio. Whatever that's prisoner. Maybe some derogatory meaning. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, we can't say on air. But so when did you finally learn that the A-bombs had been dropped? You told me that a U.S. plane flew over and dropped a monkey wrench with a note on it to you?
Yeah, it said, you're lucky. You missed the bomb. And indicating that the fat man that was supposed to hit us, we didn't get it. It went,
Was that in English or was that in Japanese?
What?
The note. Was the note intended for you?
Yeah, it was dropped on our camp.
So they knew it was a prisoner of war camp.
Where we were.
Yeah, gotcha. Stay there, sir. Final segment coming up. Kevin's got a final question for you as well. Sorry to all the callers, but this is really important. We're just giving you some reality here. The torture, what torture's like. But I haven't heard that our troops were raped. That's a new level that only certain countries go to.
There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the documented truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is the global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
For our guest, we're going to have back. He is the author of The Secret Camera. Folks, you got to get this book. We got a link to it up on InfoWars.com where you can get the book there on the website. But Kevin's met you in person, which I'm envious of. Kevin, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, speaking of Mr. Kirk, when we had a little more time, he discussed with me that they didn't even have enough clothes to go around for everyone. And when they went out on these work details and sub-freezing temperatures, they'd have to gather up clothes for the people going outside, and you'd stay back in the barracks naked. obviously, what you were doing, Sergeant Kirk, if you'd been caught with that camera, you surely would have been killed. And I just, my hat's off to you. I salute you, you know, for the courage you displayed, because in this society we live in now, we're afraid. We're taught to be afraid of everything. And I just wanted, again, to salute you and just ask you this basic question. What made the difference? How come you survived where someone else next to you didn't? What was the
determining
factor?
There's that question, and then how many of you were U.S. prisoners of the Japanese? How many of you are still alive, sir?
From our place, we got 27 out of 203. But the ones that stayed alive are the ones that said, I'm not going to die. It's a matter of will. A lot of them just lay down and died. But two things that bothered me about this war is the media talks about Pearl Harbor being a victory. How can a stab in the back be a victory? And that attrition is what the Japanese did after the Battle of Midway when they knew they lost the war. It wasn't attrition. It was out-and-out fanatic murderers trying to kill Americans. That was the main thing they wanted to do. That's why they set it up on Iwo Jima and killed 6,000 of our boys, just because they wanted to kill us. Because they hate our guts. They have then, and they still do. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, you're talking about the leadership of Japan, or do you think all the Japanese?
Well, I guess it'd be the leadership, because what are these Japanese people know? They don't. Nobody ever told them there was a war.
Well, they did have a caste society, pretty much enslaved. It's just amazing. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and folks can get the secret camera from the website, thesecretcamera.com, or link through at Infowars.com, and I would imagine it's on Amazon.com and other places. And I hope to talk to you again in the future, sir. It's always great to talk to somebody who's lived through so much history. I want to get you back on to talk about the chemical and biological testing that happened to some of the troops you knew, because that needs to be on the record from eyewitnesses. Thank you for coming on with us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
You bet. God bless you.
My best to all the listeners.
We appreciate you, sir. Our best to you. God bless. Take care.
God bless you.
All right. There goes our guest. We thought we're always talking about how our government staged it and how they sucked the Japanese in and how that we were attacking them in China. And it's all true. But again, it's not a bipolar thing of where, well, this side's good, that side's bad. These governments are evil. The Founding Fathers told you that. And look, I didn't know our guests would talk about this, how they left them, how they wouldn't take care of them, how they wouldn't give them medical care. It's always the same. I mean, it's the truth. And when we're not taking care of our troops this time with your little neocon war, it's not like something entertaining to sit at home and watch Iraq Desert Storm 2 like it's a football game. This is people's lives you're talking about. I hope you'll visit Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. I hope you'll get the videos and books. My new film, The Order of Death, is now out. Huge discounts right now, and it makes this show possible. Infowars.com. Or PrisonPlanet.tv. Go get a membership there on the website and see them all online. Kevin, thanks for coming on with us.
No problem, Alex. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for recommending that guest. That was very educational, extremely informative. All right. Again, you guys have a great evening. We'll see you back tomorrow.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Hello, folks.